It is time for Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Traditional small animal medicine and surgery, chiropractic, laser therapy, acupuncture, and Chinese herbal medicine. 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com. With us today, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, owner and chief vet at the Millerton Veterinary Practice. Hello, Dr. Cannon.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's what you think. I say that every time when we start this show.
It is a good morning, everyone. That the alternative is not good.
That's true. And your point is well taken. And with that, Scarlett in Great Barrington says, or asks, I adopted a young 8 months or so old cat off of Craigslist that turns out to have feline HIV. I already love her, but I want to be realistic. According to stuff I'm reading online, her lifespan might be a lot shorter than normal. Is that true? More importantly, what can I do to boost her immune system?
So what she has is FIV, which is feline immunodeficiency virus, which is more similar to HIV than, for instance, feline leukemia is. So it is a slow virus that affects them. They can have for years and not have any symptoms. It is not transmissible to humans or any other species that I'm aware of. And it behaves similarly to HIV. I have seen cats live a normal lifespan with FIV, and sometimes not get sick with it. It totally depends on the individual. So some cats can have intermittent infections and be more susceptible, definitely more susceptible to infection, so you have to be very careful about that and other pets that they're exposed to. As far as the immune system goes, really, there are some antivirals that can help when they get sick, and for instance, potentially with stomatitis. So these cats sometimes will get inflammation of the gums and mouth, gingivitis and stomatitis. And if it's really severe, some cats will respond to antiviral drugs. But as far as boosting the immune system, I think probably the best thing and the only thing that I can think of is probiotics. So giving probiotics on a daily basis for their entire life, not exposing them to a lot of other pets. Of course, you always want to keep an FIV positive cat in the house so that we don't expose other cats. It is transmitted usually through bites. Sexual contact is not a big transmitter of FIV. It's really important to keep your kitty inside to keep other animals safe. There was a vaccine developed for FIV, but it causes them to become positive on the test, and so it's difficult to discern whether or not, of course, it's too late now, but as far as other cats go, we don't use that FIV vaccine because we weren't able to determine which cats were naturally infected. And it didn't seem to really, there was no good evidence that it prevented the disease. So I know the question was about boosting the immune system. I would be careful about that with FIV. I would say stick with probiotics. You could see an alternative medicine practitioner for other ideas based on the individual kitty.
And when you say stick with probiotics, because this is one of those things, is there, the internet being a scourge sometimes, a font of information and sometimes a scourge, is there a way to find out which, are all probiotics created equal?
No, definitely not. So a probiotic that is geared toward animals would be a good idea. So Proviable, Purina makes one that I can never remember the name of that is flavored, that goes in food. My favorite is Proviable Fort. It's got, 12 billion live organisms per capsule. So you really want to make sure that you're making a difference. As far as, giving, in other words, people say, well, I give them yogurt, but the amount of probiotic bacteria in yogurt is a drop in the bucket compared to a capsule of Proviable. So you want to be doing something that is going to make a difference. And so for a kitty, you know, maybe a Proviable capsule, a regular Proviable once a day, or a Proviable Fort, which is double that, half of one once a day. And what we're trying to do is populate, not only populate the gut with healthy bacteria, but that in doing so, it prevents the development of unproductive or not unhealthy bacteria. But also will strengthen the immune system by keeping the gut healthy. And all of that gut-associated lymphoid tissue, the lymph nodes that are around the intestine, keep them healthy.
And just personally, I will add, I think probiotics are magic. And I have noticed in using them in a lot of cases that they're magic, yeah.
Right, right. But the FIV virus is... once it becomes active, and if it gets into the bone and starts affecting the bone marrow, you know, can be deadly.
But,
and so it's very difficult to predict what it's going to do. But it is possible for a cat to live a normal lifespan with it.
And just with that, looking at Scarlett's question, it doesn't appear that she is symptomatic.
Right.
So the one thing in animal management that people tend to not do as much as maybe they should, and this is just my opinion, is, they just sort of get used to the critter being there, and so they don't really notice any shifts or changes until possibly later than it needs to be. So in a situation like this, what would you just, without being crazy.
Yeah, so good veterinary care is really, really important. So, having, without over-vaccinating, so having your kitty checked by a veterinarian at least once a year, maybe every 6 months for the first few years so that you can really keep track of what's going on, do some lab work, make sure that you're not vaccinating unnecessarily. I'd be very careful with vaccinations, except for rabies.
So long short, Scarlett could approach this positively,
and absolutely,
and see what happens. But it's not hopeless. It's not like
it's not. I had a cat with FIV many, many, many years ago who lived to be about 11, and she did die from the virus, but she did very well and didn't have repeated infections.
So anything is possible. All right, moving to Ethan and Maggie in Rhinebeck, we have 2 turtle doves, 3 guinea pigs, 2 dogs, a cat, and now we have a new litter of kittens. The kittens have ear mites, and we don't know if we need to treat every animal in the house or what. How are ear mites passed along? Do the animals have to make physical contact, or will sharing bedding spread them? Can they go from species to species? Is it bad to treat for mites if you don't see the evidence of mites yet?
First, we want to make sure that those kittens have ear mites. Many people bring their cats in and they just have dirty ears and or a little bit itchy, and they don't have mites. So you want to have a diagnosis of ear mites before you bother to treat.
Okay.
Dogs can contract ear mites from cats and vice versa. Very unusual for dogs to have mites. I think I've seen in 30 years maybe 2 dogs with ear mites who lived with a bunch of cats who had it. They're carried from one pet to the other by direct contact. So the more direct contact they have, the more likely they're going to have, so they're crawling from one pet to the other if they're sleeping together. They can be in the environment. They don't last long off of the animal, but it is possible that they can be in the environment. Guinea pigs, as far as I know, they only get their own species-specific ear mites. So you shouldn't need to worry about the guinea pigs if it's...
Okay, I think you've done the menagerie.
So treating them, if the kittens actually have ear mites, you want to treat the kittens and the mom cat and keep a close eye on the dogs. But as I say, typically ear mites, it's a proliferative kind of a crusty, dry discharge in the ears. And when you go to clean it out, they are super itchy. And that back foot comes up to scratch, scratch, scratch.
Okay, with those little clawlets that go...
Yeah,
kick. All right.
Pretty easy to treat with Revolution.
Okay. And if it is another cat other than the mother of the kittens, would you treat that cat as well?
Yes, any cat in the house, I would go ahead and treat with Revolution, or first of all, take the kittens to the vet. I have to wonder if this kitty, if the cat is the mom of the litter of kittens, then the mom probably gave the litter the ear mites, and so she may have had them for a long time. So all of those things to think about. Where did they come from?
Right. Absolutely. It is very funny, the difference between being a veterinarian and not. I didn't read that. I was looking at the list, and I didn't go, well, of course, the cat would be the mother of the kittens. That wasn't my first thought. So,
and maybe she isn't.
Who knows? All right. Xing Zheng in Patterson. My bunny loves to munch on things he shouldn't, no matter how many things I give him to eat and chew, like carpet and wallpaper. I just feel I want to be prepared. If he gets into something really bad, should I induce vomiting or something?
So these house rabbits, if they're doing a lot of chewing, number one, you have to give them things to chew on.
Are there rabbit toys?
Pardon?
Are there bunny toys?
Yeah, I mean, there are things that are made for rabbits to chew on, different kinds of wood that they can chew on. Make sure that their teeth are not too long, and that they have a good occlusion of the teeth. And, you keep them in a place. I would not have a rabbit be, if you have a chewing rabbit who's on carpet, not a good idea, unless you're going to keep your bunny in the cage and just have them out when you're watching them. Because once they've ingested something that's going to cause a blockage, there is no way that you're going to get that out of there without surgery. So, no, you can't induce vomiting in a rabbit. Okay. And I think you just have to be super careful. Try to figure out why the bunny's munching on things and how bad is that, and keep your bunny in a place that has a safe space during the day or when you're not watching the bun.
You can make a little sign over it. It's like safe room.
You can get a good-sized cage or even have a hutch in part of the house. And bring out your bun when you have time to play and to watch. But
right.
Do not try to induce vomiting.
No.
So if your rabbit is obstructed with some material, then likely she's going to stop eating. And if that's the case, right to the vet is the way to go.
Okay, and so that is how you will know. And then I'm going to throw this in as a civilian. Just have an emergency plan so that you know where, if you've got a situation like this, you should know where you're going to take the bunny and, what you need. You should just know that, because you can't induce vomiting.
Right. You need an exotic animal specialist usually to treat an obstruction in a rabbit. and probably would be able to give you, potentially would be able to give you more advice about specifics on how to prevent this than I can.
Okay.
As far as rabbits go.
All right. We have a resident rabbit.
You do? At the station?
No, at the house. It's massive. Massive. I mean, the guy just, and he comes out. It's almost like a cute.
Is that the Easter Bunny?
No.
He must be, because who would go around your house with all those dogs?
It's go crazy, and then go after, and then you'll look outside, and he's enormous. Plus, he's got apparently excellent survival skills, and he just comes and he sits outside and he munches, and then goes away. I mean, when they come out and then they chase around it, he's there. But it's just I don't know how it's gone on for so long, but it has. All right, Helen in Dover Plains. For the past couple of days, our Cocker Spaniel Greta has had something up with her mouth where it looks like it's drooping on one side. It looks a lot like when my dad had Bell's palsy. Can a dog get Bell's palsy? Greta seems all right otherwise, but maybe a little slower when she eats her food. Thank you.
Yes, a dog can get facial nerve paralysis. So cranial nerve 7 is the facial nerve, and I believe Bell's palsy is caused by facial nerve paralysis in people. And it is also an issue with dogs where the lips can droop, the eyelid can droop, lower eyelid droops. It is also somewhat of a mystery. So it can be caused by just about anything, we think. Maybe viral exposure, potentially tick-borne disease. Trauma probably is more likely in dogs. Is hitting that hitting the nerve on that side of the face when they're running into a door jam or something, playing with another dog. They can get it, and it can indicate other diseases. So definitely, Greta should be checked by a veterinarian to make sure that there's nothing else going on. And it can be difficult to chew, and typically, it often will resolve itself with time.
All right, and about how much time? I mean, obviously to the vet first, but how much time could it,
Usually in months.
Okay.
Months, but it can be the beginning of neurologics, of central nervous system neurologic symptoms as well.
Which is why
so it's really important to keep tabs on that.
Yeah. Sometimes I notice that people's humans' sense of time is so, I'm thinking of myself. But I took one pill. Yeah. You're going to have to be a little more committed than that. So that's why I was curious about how long it takes when something like this is resolving itself.
Yeah, so it can take a long time, and sometimes it won't come back completely. However, the worrisome part is that, it can be progressive and a symptom of a brain problem.
Right. All right. And Kristen in Pittsfield, so my 6-year-old won a turtle at a county fair, which sort of icks me out, because turtles can carry salmonella, right? But he loves it, and now it's his favorite thing to do. Now his favorite thing to do is to let it crawl around the house. What's the best way to clean up after it to keep everyone safe?
Well, the guidelines really are that you shouldn't expose children too much to turtles because of the possibility of salmonella. So I wouldn't let the turtle crawl all over the house. I don't think it's a huge threat, but if you are one of those people who's susceptible to salmonellosis, then it's not going to be easy to clean up after the turtle. So you need to. My suggestion would be to keep the area confined. Use guidelines for your kid, to this is where you can play with your turtle, and that this is what you need to do after you play with your turtle, which is wash your hands really well. There is a product that we use in kennels at veterinary offices and in rescue places, and it's called Rescue, and it will kill salmonella, but I'm not sure that you're going to be wanting to use that on your household floors, et cetera, on an everyday routine. So, playing with the turtle in the bathtub is not a bad idea. You can really scrub the bathtub afterward. But make sure that your child is not immunosuppressed, number one, and no one else in the house is, and that your child washes their hands really well after playing with the turtle.
All right. And my brother used to have, I think we had two turtles, right?
We did too when I was a kid.
But that's...
right. And nobody ever got sick.
Yeah.
But nevertheless...
And that was a while ago. I just recall them just...
Yeah, now that we know what can happen, we have to be more careful.
More conscious.
And having more than one turtle is probably a nice thing so that you don't have to be their only contact.
Right.
With a living being.
Exactly. Back to probiotics. This is from Anne in New Britain. I'm a big fan of probiotics. And this year I started giving them to my pup, too. She's 3, a golden lab. It's definitely helped Sadie with hot spots, but they're expensive. For myself, I supplement the store-bought stuff with food that's naturally probiotic. Is there an equivalent for dog food? And what about cat food? I'm thinking my kitty might benefit too, but if we're all on store-bought probiotics, that's going to be an extra $125 a month.
Foods that are naturally probiotic, foods that promote... I think that the important thing is just to be on a really healthy diet that's low in carbohydrates and sugars. So you want to be able to promote, and that has the right type of fiber to promote the growth of good bacteria is what's important. I think if you're adding yogurt, a tablespoon of yogurt to your dog's food, and you think that you're doing anything, then you're deluding yourself because you're not. So I don't think that it's really going to be helpful to add foods. I don't know, Jill, can you think of any foods that are super high in
No, not off the top of my head. And I also just, you know, I'm so balance oriented that, you know, trying to compensate for one thing. It goes back to the green bean experience with the cat, who's still alive, miraculously. And just he just loved green beans. He loved them. He loved them to bits. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. You know, how healthy for my cat. And then it turned out, I mean, this was a long, long time ago, but you did your analysis. And, it's like, and you said, what is wrong? This cat has the pH of a racehorse. And I'll never forget it.
Huh? Very high urine pH. Yeah. Yeah, so, right, there's balance in everything. I think that...
So I just would... And also, this may be limited mentally, but I have used ProViable for ages. The minute that... And I would always give more than the baby ProViable, so the minute that the actual ProViable Fort came out, I was really happy because...
You don't have to give more...
Right,
and the important thing is, of course, to keep the diet so that it promotes good bacteria, which is going to be not a lot of sugars, and you know, actually no sugars, no refined sugar, and lower in simple carbohydrates that are going to be more likely to promote the growth of bacteria that you don't want, which will shove out the bacteria, use up the space that the bacteria that you do want to promote should be in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And so, and I guess it's probably going to end up, it is costly, but it's going to end up being a push because either you'd be buying food for, sadly, close on that amount, you know.
Well, that's true, and the veterinary visits, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so if you think of it in those terms, and, you know, it's hard to tell what is causing what, but I think as far as, you know, probiotics have helped skin and preventing hot spots, that's great. You know, if you've got sort of a couple of years to go on as far as when they were off versus when they're on. But, you know, you can definitely make a difference in overall health, which is what you're really shooting for. Is that's the best kind of preventive medicine to do, is keep yourself really healthy. And I find that the best way to do that is to eat a healthy diet. And that doesn't matter who you are or what species.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. It doesn't matter how many legs you have.
You are what you eat.
And, you know, it's so true. That was an old one, but that's an oldie but goodie.
I did not come up with that, no.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Pet Files Ask the Vet, underwritten by the Millerton Veterinary Practice, 518-789-3440, millertonvet.com.